Hello, I'm Jean Pete, and I welcome you back to our show, Better Living. Better Living is brought to you by the Homestead Hope Foundation and is sponsored by Homestead Hospice, where commitment to education and premier hospice care helps patients and families through life's most important journey. I'm Jean Pete. Thanks for staying with us this week. I'm still here with Dr. Bruce Edelstein and Sue Skipper from 2045 Peachtree Road, Suite 416 in Atlanta. And just to remind you, right before the break, we gave the website. I want you to have that website address because we have had a lot of great information on this show already, and more is yet to come. But that website is www.mygumdoc.com. Before the break, we talked about toothbrushes, toothpaste, flossing, gingivitis, and periodontal disease. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this half hour, the results of not taking care of your mouth and your teeth and your gums and what all that can lead to, because I have read, and it is scary, and I'm trying to get better at flossing because I don't want all of the effects of poor mouth care to wreak havoc in my body. So let's talk about some of the things that can result from having periodontal disease.
Sure. Periodontal disease is the most common cause for adult tooth loss, period.
And that in and of itself, I mean, that's cosmetic, but right. That's what hits most people because they don't want to look like they have holes in their teeth.
Sure. I mean, it's not trauma. It's not failed root canals. It's not decay. It is periodontal disease, period. The Mayo Clinic did a study, and they determined that they compared people with a full complement of teeth compared to people that don't have any teeth. And people with a full complement of teeth, on average, live 10 years longer.
Hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Wow.
Now, what periodontal disease, in the process of periodontal disease, when someone is infected with periodontal disease, they can have, and the studies have shown this, a 2 times greater risk of a fatal heart attack, a 3 times greater risk of a stroke. Diabetes is worsened. And we also have studies that show that when periodontal disease is treated in a diabetic, typically there's such an improvement in a diabetic's A1C that one of the oral medications can be withdrawn.
Hmm.
That's how much of an impact periodontal disease has on a diabetic person.
And we know that an increase in diabetes is also going to bring up the statistics for heart attack and stroke as well.
Yes.
So it's compounding.
Yes.
Is there a discernment between race or different types of cultures, or it's just there is no discrimination here? It is just whatever you do with your mouth.
I believe there's some information that shows that the African-American population may have a greater rate of periodontal disease.
Because there is a greater rate of diabetes
in
the African-American population. So that's actually why I asked that question.
That could be a socioeconomic finding, though, in the big picture of things.
I wonder how, though. Really, in this instance, a toothbrush and floss. I don't know if that's socioeconomic.
No.
I think that could just be that there's a higher instance of diabetes in the African American population, maybe.
It could be. Well, and diabetes does make periodontal disease worse.
Okay.
Periodontal disease makes diabetes worse. Diabetes, once someone has it, it makes their periodontal health worse.
So it makes it harder for you to stay healthy in your mouth because the diabetes is already acting against you.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
And then there are other things that periodontal disease affects. There's some thinking that there may be an effect on Alzheimer's. They have detected periodontal bacteria that does end up floating around the bloodstream in the autopsies in the brains of Alzheimer patients.
So does it affect, because isn't Alzheimer's a buildup of plaque because of some proteins that are in the body?
I believe that's the case.
And that could be tied to some of those proteins?
I'm sure there are other causes and other reasons, but you know, this is, for any of these conditions, this isn't the cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's multifactorial, mm-hmm. and there are many, many causes. And it could be that this is a risk factor or a higher incidence of some of these diseases. There are certain cancers that have been linked to periodontal disease at a higher rate, pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, and arthritis.
They are saying that cancers are caused by infections.
Yes.
A lot of times,
inflammation.
Viruses.
Inflammation
is
in the body.
Keyword.
Periodontal disease is a bacterial infection that causes an inflammatory response. The most common cause for chronic inflammation in the body is periodontal disease because it's so common.
So we don't think about inflammation in the body. We think about inflammation in the mouth. But it's really affecting inflammation in your entire body?
It is connected.
I mean, you have an infection, you have an infection.
Right.
It is connected. It's the same circulatory system. It's the same lymphatic system. It is connected to the rest of the body. And my hunch is that we've just reached the tip of the iceberg with what I've been talking about as far as the connections with the rest of the body.
So what's the best way to treat the infection?
Well, there are wonderful non-surgical techniques. And this is the bottom line. There are wonderful non-surgical techniques and there are wonderful surgical techniques. And there are very long-term studies that show that we can get a handle on it, we can fix it, and we could keep it healthy in the majority. And we could keep someone healthy once we've gotten them healthy in the majority of people. It is important that someone seek out the treatment of a periodontist, though, because our ability to reverse this course and regenerate the tissues and fix it on a more thorough basis is enhanced. Anyone who's a diabetic should see a periodontist. Anyone who is a smoker should see a periodontist. Anyone who's seen a cardiologist for any heart disease should see a periodontist. Any immune disorder, they should see a periodontist.
Well, basically, if you've been diagnosed with any chronic or life-threatening disease, we need to get looking in your mouth.
We should rule out the oral cavity as being a source or a source for the future to that chronic condition or disease. If you're a female and getting ready to family plan, let's not have you have a preterm baby. Go see a periodontist. Rule it out. Rule it in. Get treated. We are seeing patients who are going on bisphosphonates, medications for osteopenia. Their physicians, or osteoporosis, excuse me, their physicians are sending them to us to get treated for periodontal disease before they place them on this medication. So the medical community is beginning to catch up a little bit, not as much as we would like. It couldn't be fast enough as far as we're concerned, but that's what the purpose of today's show is.
Everything is connected.
Yes.
Everything is connected.
Yes.
And it's nice that the medical community is broadening its scope about how they have to have these relationships with other folks outside of non-traditional medicine.
Yes.
Because the body, and I'm doing a show with a chiropractor too, and spine health is so tied to everything well. You cannot separate anything.
Correct.
And while you were talking, Sue, I was thinking, you know, I've done so many shows on so many diseases and all of that, and everything comes back to exercise, eat well, stay away from this, make sure you eat enough of this. And I think we're getting more cognizant about what we should eat, whether we do it or not. You know, we know that green vegetables and fruits and things not high in fat and cut the sugar and all that. So we're focusing much more on what we're putting into our bodies, but we're not focusing on the avenue of which everything gets put into your body. So you could be eating healthy foods, but if you're infected in there,
we've started nicknaming the oral cavity as ground zero.
Yeah.
On our show. Yes.
We do a show with Jeff Davis here at the station called Open Wide on a weekly basis. And we've talked more and more lately about how the oral cavity is ground zero to the rest of your health.
Because we're so worried about what we expose ourselves to, and we're not even thinking.
We think it's a separate entity, I think, because it hangs off the body through the neck. I don't know. I mean, you would be alarmed if your fingernails bled when you washed your hands. You would be at the doctor so fast, oh my gosh, why am I? But we accept bleeding gums. Yeah, they always do that. We still have that mentality about them.
Well, I think part of it is, oh man, I guess I got to go to the dentist.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
Well, if you feel that way, then maybe you're at the wrong dentist.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because most of our patients love coming.
Good point, gum doc.
The majority of our patients really do like to see us for preventative maintenance visits. The majority of our patients are grateful and happy and are not dreading the visit in any way, shape, or form.
I've come a long way, baby. So there might be some of that, because I did. Sue, we were talking when we first started. There was a terrible hygienist at that place for a little while.
He
hurt me for days. I was hurting.
It shouldn't be that way.
But I have a good hygienist now.
Good.
So
it does not need to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that was one of the first visits after not going for a long time, so I probably did it to myself.
It still didn't need to be that way, even if even after an absence. And I'm being really serious. I mean, most of our patients would not report that. It should not be that way.
Yeah, I like the dentist better than the hygienist sometimes, unless you have to have work done. So let's talk about root canals.
Okay.
I know that's not periodontal disease, but you were saying that it's not root canals, it's not decay, it's periodontal disease. So
the main cause for
tooth loss. But if you're needing to have a root canal.
There's no question. It's the best way to resolve an infected tooth if the nerve is infected, and it has a fairly high success rate.
And how does the nerve get infected? Does it start with an infection, or is it
usually,
completely separate?
No, usually it's decay or trauma.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's repeated trauma from dental fillings and eventually a crown, and then eventually the nerve gets annoyed enough to where it becomes infected.
Okay.
And it actually has a fairly high success rate, especially if an endodontist or a root canal specialist does the root canal. Very, very high success rate. But we're talking 85, 90% success rate, maybe a little higher, a little lower in the back of the mouth. So there's still a failure rate with it. And there are roots that get fractured, cracked. There are anatomic considerations inside the little tiny nerve where there could be an accessory canal that isn't completely reached. So there is a failure rate associated with root canals or the teeth that have had root canals.
Because
it's made them brittle.
I had my first root canal a few years ago. It was an amazing experience.
Again.
Zero pain during, before, or after. But I chose a very good specialist to go see.
It depends
and
it
does
on
make
who
a
you
difference.
See.
He's amazing.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. Big difference. A root canal is not a root canal. It depends on who you see. A periodontal treatment is not a periodontal treatment. It depends on who you see.
Right. And just like everything, I mean, you have to make sure that you're an advocate for yourself and that you are educated when you make your decision. And you should actually interview. I'm a big fan of this. I work in home care. And in hospice and in healthcare, and we even tell our families, you know what? Meet with three people and make sure that you're choosing the one that is the best fit for you.
I'm with you. Getting back to root canals, they do have a failure rate, which is why we love dental implants so much. One of the highest success rates in dentistry. One of the most successful services we can now provide. So it used to be when a root canal tooth failed, you would have to extract that tooth, do a bridge. If it was multiple teeth, do dentures or removable partials. And now we have implants, which have an ultimately high success rate. And that has really revolutionized our practice in the last 20 years, I'd say, and helped the public greatly.
And so can we talk about cost, though? Is that covered? How are we doing in terms of dental insurance these days? Because I hear implants, and I think that's really expensive. I don't know. I haven't gone down that road.
Dental insurance has not kept up. With the times.
Yeah.
When I first...
And it's so sad, because look at the whole show.
It's incredibly sad.
We're talking about how it's important
in
the whole body.
It may save your life to treat your
gum
disease.
It may save your life.
And yet dental insurance says, I'm only giving you $1,000 a year to spend on your dental infection.
Right.
It's a crying shame. Somebody needs to go Aaron Brockovich on the dental insurance
industry.
30 years ago, when I went into practice, the average... dental insurance is unique, because people only get a small allotment per year. $1,000, $1,500 is typical. When I went into practice 30 years ago, it was $1,000, $1,500.
Yeah.
If you adjust that for inflation today, you'd have close to $5,000. And you could really make some headway and fix something.
And I think
today,
that's why people don't do things.
Today
they don't have the money.
Today with $1,000 or $1,500, you can't fix one tooth.
Yeah, that's health insurance doesn't say, I'm going to give you $1,000 to fix your stomach infection. It's ludicrous. I don't even know why dental disease is not covered under health insurance. It's a health epidemic.
It's tied together.
It is
right.
It is connected
it's
ground zero, and it's connected to the rest of the body.
Yeah, that is a shame, because we could be a much healthier nation. And then we could talk, not to talk politics, but we could talk about saving our healthcare system.
Yes, our
healthcare
system.
So much money.
We'd be paying for low
because we're doing preventative
birth weight babies and higher, more heart. If we just treated the mouth, which is really less expensive to treat than having a heart attack.
That's a shame.
Now, on another note, the what we find is that a lot of times it's a priority. I mean, it's an issue of priority.
Mm-hmm.
Because that same patient that says they can't afford this or they can't afford that, they're going on a cruise next spring. Or you see them drive off in a new car.
You're right.
So people really, most people, not everyone, of course, but most people have priorities.
Until you have a health scare, I don't think you fully realize how important it is. Everything else can fall apart as long as you have your health.
Yes.
Because if you're healthy, no matter what falls apart, you have the wherewithal to pull it back together. If you're not healthy and anything falls apart, you can't come back.
Correct.
Or come back as well. And so I get that. But you do, sometimes you have to go through a trauma to really understand you have to put your health first. And here I am talking after I've told on myself for half an hour, 45 minutes about how great I am at flossing. But I do go to the dentist.
Well, that's good.
And they said, Jean, if you don't floss and this continues, I'm sending you to a periodontist.
So keep us in
I might
mind
be seeing you,
you ever need to
Lord.
Go.
Now that we know each other, you can't see my mouth.
We love treating our friends.
I worked in hospice just for a second here. And I moved to Georgia and I was opening an office. And my boss said, do you have a medical director? I said, I just got here 2 weeks ago. I don't know a soul. So I made an appointment for a physical. And I said, I really need a medical director. And he said, okay, yeah, I would love to do that. I did it in Texas. Just so happens, I'm very passionate about seniors. And I said, okay, now that you're going to be my medical director, the clothes are staying on. You're going to have to go get another doctor to do my physical.
That's funny.
So anyway. Okay, so what have I missed? What are some important topics that we've got to get out
before the dental implants.
Okay, yeah, implants.
Dental implants have revolutionized dentistry. It is the standard of care today to replace a tooth or many teeth or people with dentures that flop around. They can be locked.
Dentures are terrible.
They could be locked in with dental implants. And it's become more than 50% of what we do in our practice. And our academy is changing the name to include dental implants as a statement of it becoming a very important aspect of the field of periodontics.
So let's talk about dental implants.
Sure.
Then, because it would be terrific. But the cost is what worries me. So what kind of
it
programs
is,
are out there to help people?
Okay, from a big picture standpoint, the cost of a dental implant is, if there's a bridge necessary because a tooth has been lost, that bridge will need to be replaced on average in 10 years. Sometimes even less.
Okay.
On dental implants, 95% of the dental implants we placed are there 20 years later.
Okay.
So over the span of most people's lifetimes, a dental implant is less expensive than the bridge.
Okay.
Initially, it's a little more, but when you look at it in the scheme of things, it's less in that patient's lifetime. We have done certain things in our practice to reduce the barriers to care. It used to be for a comprehensive exam, comprehensive x-rays, photographs, bacterial studies, review of the medical history, that could cost over $600, especially if someone needs a CT scan, which I have in the office because I do so many implants.
Wow.
That can cost over $600, right? And hardly any of that is covered by insurance. So what we've done is we've created a new patient special. And at least for the time being, someone can get all that in our office for
$129. Wow.
A new patient special. So we've eliminated that initial barrier for treatment.
That's great.
Another thing that we've done is if anything is over $2,000, we'll give free financing for a year, which really isn't free. The office pays for the financing. Or someone can get 10% off if they don't need financing. So we've done these things to help people pursue the treatment that they've needed. We've done it for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped out a lot of folks get the treatment that they need rather than get hung up with that initial cost of entry, so to speak.
That's so important. And so just to get the elephant out of the room, let's just say somebody needs three implants.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
typical average? What's the average?
There is no average.
Okay.
It's all different.
Two implants. How much would something like that cost them?
Well, one implant could be $2,800 or so.
Okay.
Multiple implants. If someone needs multiple implants, again, on top of that 10%, I normally do one for free.
Okay.
So it can get the cost down to $1,800 or so.
Okay. Okay.
And in the scheme of things, it's the most cost-effective thing that someone can do to help themselves.
Well, and what's going to happen is, and I know this because I'm running into this with folks, but you go to the hospital overnight now for anything, and you come out of that hospital, you're in for about $2,500 that bill anyway.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So if you're taking care of your teeth and you can prevent that future hospitalization, it can pay for itself. You're never going to
exactly
see
right.
that, but it will pay
but
for itself.
But in reality, it does. Mm-hmm. Another thing we do getting to implants is we do now offer free seminars to the public. We have one coming up Thursday, November 12th at 6 o'clock. You can visit our website if you need more information, but it is free. And we dedicate the entire hour to telling our audience in a very small, intimate setting about dental implants. So someone may not even have to pay to come to the office, even for a new patient special. They can come to our seminar for free. So we are doing everything we can do
That's
to
great.
Help.
That's great. I can't say you won't be seeing me in the future. I got to get through the holidays, though.
They do have to go to our website to register.
Okay.
That's
so make sure
mygumdoc.com.
Yeah, www.mygumdoc.com for that free lecture. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole page
on
our
November
website
12th
dedicated.
In the evening?
Yeah, yes. 6 o'clock at Brio o'clock. Restaurant.
Oh,
well,
Brio.
Well, yeah, we'll provide food, refreshments.
Yeah, yeah, we provide dinner.
We make it fun.
And, you know, it's our goal to help people change their lives, help them improve the quality of their life with either periodontal treatment or dental implants.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. This is great.
You're welcome.
Who knew Jeannie Pete could do a whole hour show on teeth?
we would be happy to come back and do another one.
I would love to have you guys back. Y'all are fun.
Our pleasure.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Bruce Edelstein and Sue Skipper, who is his professional relations coordinator and also a dental hygienist. He's located at 2045 Peachtree Road, Suite 416 in Atlanta, and his website is www.mygumdoc.com. Thanks, all. Have a great week. I'm Jeannie Pete. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed day and week ahead, and listen here same time next week and every week. Homestead Hope Foundation is your resource for a healthy life. God bless.